Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, thank you for this opportunity again. I'm wondering if I should just start with some answering the questions that we were trying to do from the back here. But I'm Lieutenant Jason Smith, signed to the Milwaukee Police Department Intelligence Fusion Center. I've been with the MPD for 19 years. I've been assigned to gangs, fugitive apprehension, robbery, homicide unit as a police officer, detective, and then back again as a supervisor. Currently assigned to the Intelligence Fusion Center, we've just put in a firearms intelligence unit, kind of a intelligence-led, data-driven approach to disrupting the illegal gun markets that we have in Milwaukee and in the Milwaukee region. We're committed to this process. Now, I've testified in front of this committee before on the impact of straw purchasing and the movement of illegal guns in secondary markets, but there's a difference in the last time we testified. Today we're here, Chief Edward Flynn, our partners in Milwaukee County DA's office, DA Chisholm. We propose several changes that are reflective of a comprehensive prescription to making our community safer. And today we're here in not on separate bills as we were in the past. We're here with a combination, which is it shows the sense of urgency and wise decisions by our lawmakers. The amendment to the penalties for falsifying information on firearm transfer records, which we also know as straw purchasing, and making receiving stolen property inclusive of firearms are two comprehensive changes that we view as linked. Among those people in investigations that I've spoken to in the wake of violent crimes, they all say that guns are easy to obtain. In the ease at which they're obtained truly suggests that a secondary market is the likely source. Now, the original source might be a gun store, might be a gun show, might be the back of somebody's car stolen from it. But quite often, the person seeking to obtain a gun has likely used one before and is prohibited from having one or from purchasing one. And we've defined straw purchase. It happens every day. Somebody buys a car for somebody else that has bad credit. An adult buys cigarettes for a kid, or in the worst case scenario, in much of our community, a girlfriend will buy a gun for a felon who uses it to kill somebody or end the career of a police officer that is out doing this work we're talking about, taking illegal guns off the street. Six MPD officers in 2 years, all shot by prohibited people, all one source, Badger guns, all straw purchases. We talked about Officers Kunish and Norberg, June 9th of this year, monitoring a school closing on our south side, busy street, stopped somebody on a bike, one shot in the face, the other one shot in the body. I watched the video surveillance tape, Badger guns. I watched the suspect pick the gun out and somebody else buy it for him. $40 was the motivation to straw purchase, and the threat of a misdemeanor is what didn't prevent it. Changing the law to make straw purchase a felony provides a change to statute 175-35 from a 9-month maximum misdemeanor to a felony. The straw purchaser becomes a felon upon conviction. That cycle of introducing firearms into the community is broken. It gives teeth to our prosecution and the ability of the state to pursue cases that are occurring within their own jurisdiction. And as Representative Lemieux had pointed out, it allows for control of prosecution on residual cases that result from violent crime investigations. Quite often, straw purchase, they're discovered after a firearm has been used to commit a crime of violence, and it gives the prosecutor some leverage to create better results, not only for the violent crimes case, but for the straw purchase case. Changing gears to receiving stolen property, it can be simply stated as one. The benefit is a deterrent. 943.34 and Statute 948.62 seeks felony prosecution for a person who intentionally receives a stolen firearm regardless of its value. Our agency has recovered 190 firearms since January 1st of this year. The majority of these guns are valued between $200 and $600, not $2,500. It is not a felony to receive this gun, even if you know it's stolen and lawfully belongs to somebody else. The value is not there currently. Theft and property crimes are often overshadowed by the impact of violent crime in the community. We understand that. But when the target of a property crime is a firearm, it begins a chain of events that often results in violence. We know that guns are often the target of thieves because they're marketable. In the last 6 years, over 800 guns have been reported stolen to the Milwaukee Police Department. an example of a recently charged case in Milwaukee County illustrates the fear or the lack of fear of the current misdemeanor. A person broke into a car belonging to a police officer, stole a gun, his duty belt from his trunk. There was other identifiers in their shirts, badges. He knew it was a police officer's gun. Within hours, that gun was in a drug house, and it was sold in the backyard for $150. Then transferred to another person. And then shortly after that, it was traded for a small amount of cocaine and $20. But in the end of this investigation, six people had touched this gun, knowing it was a police officer's gun, because it was marketed as such. Property was recovered in two different counties. Thankfully, the suspect confessed to the crime and stated he had marketed it as belonging to a police officer. He was charged with theft of gun, a felony, because he admitted to stealing a gun, not to receiving stolen property or getting it from somebody else and saying, I didn't know what it was. It's a felony. Had he not confessed and merely identified as being engaged in the transaction, it may have not been charged, or it may have been charged as a misdemeanor, and he could go out and do this again. He said breaking into cars is his way, you know, his way of making a living. He's a pro at it. The good work of the people investigating this crime, we recovered the gun quickly. Thankfully, it did not, you know, end up in a crime of violence, but its presence in two drug houses gave certain promise to that. The suspect had an extensive record for property crimes. Taking the gun never registered with him as something of value, his freedom, if he was caught or identified. The others engaged in this transaction were not charged because they didn't cooperate, they didn't admit to knowing it was stolen, and that shows the, or illustrates the difficulty in getting this charged. But we know what the word on the street is, get caught and get out. The fear of criminals that they have of immediate and lasting incarceration has been eroded. Now, law enforcement bears the burden of prosecuting criminals who may be a threat to the public while being mindful of civil liberties. This is our challenge. What I've learned that firearm possession and ownership, it's more common among people who have been arrested than it is the general population. This suggests that there's no respect for the penalties associated with illegal obtaining and carrying a gun. But the recommendations for change that we're making support this. Criminals seek to possess guns for a variety of reasons, status, gang membership, entrepreneurship, such as drug dealing, robbery, or protection from the next guy. But often for the criminal, the risk of being arrested with a gun outweighs the risk of not having one. If they can't obtain it from the block, from a store, they're going to engage somebody else to obtain it for them. The reform that we're recommending does not impact responsible gun owners. It is an aggressive effort to reduce a violent crime and the number of illegal guns in our community. Illegal gun possession poses a great threat to public safety, well-being. We need strong, effective means to keep criminals and guns off the street, and the passing of this bill ensures that we have the tools necessary. And I can finally answer that question for you. Our association, in our effort to work on guns, we have task force membership with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Part of what my task force officer does is look at multiple purchases from any gun store within this state. They'll look at them, and then they'll look to see if these guns have been recovered, if there's a short time of crime. If we start to see a pattern, now 12 guns to a female might in itself seem odd, you know, unless she's a hunter. But we'll look at that. And
depends on how long she's got. How many she bought.
Right, right. How quick she's buying. You know. Buying 12 High Point 45s is not going to take you deer hunting. But we'll look at that, and we'll see if there's a short time of crime. Then we'll start looking at that. And unfortunately, in her case, those guns were already on the street. So by the time we catch up to it, it's 12 guns on the street. Not that she's been prosecuted 12 times and gotten short sentence. So.
When was she finally arrested?
I have to ask which case this is because there's so many. Do you have the name of
them? On any of them.
It actually escapes me. I apologize.
We have so many of those, and they're so frequent with multiple purchases, I don't know which one she brought up.
I guess what I'm curious about is, was she charged with 12 counts, 6 counts, 3 counts? Was she charged at all?
If this is the case, I believe.
Yeah, and then let me just continue because I'm going to ask you to try to provide that information.
Okay.
What was the sentence that she ultimately received when it when it finally came before the court, if it's on any of her cases has come forward yet.
We prosecute all of these in federal court because it is a felony. And I'll be honest with you, the majority of those cases result in probation. The person that straw purchased the gun that shot my two officers on the south side recently, it's a 10-year maximum. We asked, we begged for that maximum. We had both those officers sitting there. He got 2 years. So, I mean, that is a stretch. The majority of those cases go probation. That's why we want a state charge felony so that we have control of this.
So what you're telling me is there's already a parallel federal charge?
Yes.
And you could take this to federal court if you so chose?
We do. We refer all these cases to federal court because it's the only way to break that cycle of violence and prevent somebody from being a felon or a misdemeanant from going back and buying another straw purchase gun. We refer all of those cases federal. But they don't charge all of them. They push some of them back, and I'm getting probation as a final result.
Do you have statistics that show the number of people who have received sentences in state court when they've been pushed back, or who have what the sentences of people are who've been pushed back?
I have got a team of analysts that will get any statistics okay. You wish. And I'd like to talk and identify,
could you provide that to myself?
Absolutely. In fact, Chairman, collectively, come up with what you think is important to help your decision. I will get you whatever you need.
Thank you. That would be
absolutely.
Very helpful.
Is there any other questions I can answer?
Let me ask a question. What percentage would you say crime involved in Wisconsin dealing with weapons and straw purchase?
That's a hard question to answer because we don't always get the truth in the end. Once somebody uses a gun in a crime of violence, the person that provided that gun wants no association with ever handling that because they understand that, you know, if I gave it to a juvenile, I'm in trouble. If I gave it to a felon, I'm in trouble. So we don't truly get an answer, but the majority of the people committing crimes with guns are prohibited from having them in the first place. So very frequently, I would say most of the time. I can't give you a raw number, but.
Any other questions, members? So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.